Let's continue reading verses 10 through 35 of Numbers chapter 21. Now in these verses, we have the defeat of Sihon and Og, kings of the Amorites, on the east side of the Jordan River, before Israel crossed over and conquered Jericho. Numbers chapter 21, beginning now with verse 10. Now the children of Israel moved on and camped in Oboth. And they journeyed from Oboth and camped at Ayah Abarim in the wilderness, which is east of Moab, toward the sunrise. From there they moved and camped in the valley of Zered. From there they moved and camped on the other side of the Arnon, which is in the wilderness that extends from the border of the Amorites. For the Arnon is the border of Moab between Moab and the Amorites. Therefore it is said in the book of the wars of the Lord, Wahab and Suphah, the brooks of the Arnon, and the slope of the brooks that reaches to the dwelling of Ar, and lies on the border of Moab. From there they went to Beer, which is the well where the Lord said to Moses, gather the people together, and I will give them water. Then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, all of you sing to it. The well the leaders sank, dug by the nation's nobles, by the lawgiver, with their staves. And from the wilderness they went to Matana. From Matana to Nahaliel. From Nahaliel to Bamoth. And from Bamoth in the valley that is in the country of Moab to the top of Pisgah, which looks down on the wasteland. Then Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, saying, let me pass through your land. We will not turn aside into fields or vineyards. We will not drink water from wells. We will go by the king's highway until we have passed through your territory. But Sihon would not allow Israel to pass through his territory. So Sihon gathered all his people together and went out against Israel in the wilderness, and he came to Jahaz and fought against Israel. Then Israel defeated him with the edge of the sword and took possession of his land from the Arnon to the Jabbok, as far as the people of Ammon, for the border of the people of Ammon was fortified. So Israel took all these cities, and Israel dwelt in all the cities of the Amorites, in Heshbon, and in all its villages. For Heshbon was the city of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who had fought against the former king of Moab, and had taken all his land from his hand as far as the Arnon. Therefore those who speak in Proverbs say, come to Heshbon, let it be built, let the city of Sihon be repaired. For fire went out from Heshbon, a flame from the city of Sihon, it consumed Ar of Moab, the lords of the heights of the Arnon. Woe to you, Moab! You have perished, O people of Chemosh. He has given his sons as fugitives and his daughters into captivity to Sihon, king of the Amorites. But we have shot at them. Heshbon has perished as far as Dibon. Then we laid waste as far as Nophah, which reaches to Medebah. Thus Israel dwelt in the land of the Amorites. Then Moses sent to spy out Jazer. And they took its villages and drove out the Amorites who were there. And they turned and went up by the way to Bashan. So Og, king of Bashan, went out against them, he and all his people, to battle at Edrei. Then the Lord said to Moses, do not fear him, for I have delivered him into your hand with all his people and his land. And you shall do to him as you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon. So they defeated him, his sons, and all his people, until there was no survivor left him, and they took possession of his land. Once again, some background notes. The exact location of the nine places mentioned in verses 10 through 20 of this chapter is hard to pinpoint. We know from chapter 20 that Israel bypassed the country of Edom because the Edomites refused to let Israel pass through their land. Rather than fight the Edomites, God had Israel go around Edom because the Edomites were descendants of Esau and thus related to Israel. Israel was also told by the Lord not to fight the Moabites or the Ammonites because they were descendants of Lot, Abraham's nephew. All of these nations, Edom, Moab, and Ammon, were to the east of the land of Canaan. But now there was another group of people also living in the Middle East at that time, and they were the Amorites. Don't confuse Amorites with Ammonites. The Ammonites were descendants of Lot, but the Amorites were Canaanites. The Amorites lived on both sides of the Jordan River, both in the land of Canaan and on the east side of the Jordan River. Now, God gave permission to Israel to fight the Amorites. In fact, because the Amorites were Canaanites, they were to be removed and eliminated from the land. Back in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 16, God told Abraham that his descendants would be slaves in Egypt for 400 years, but then they would return to the land of Canaan when the iniquity of the Amorites was full. Genesis 15, verse 16. God had been patient and long-suffering with these pagans, but now the time had come for God to bring down the axe on the Amorites because of their gross sins of idolatry and immorality. God did not want his people polluted with the sins of the Amorites. Now, the first two kings of the Amorites to be eliminated were Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan. These two kingdoms were both on the east side of the Jordan River. More background we could give, but we need to move on to our doctrinal teaching points for this portion of Numbers chapter 21. So, doctrinal or teaching point number one, moving forward results in singing. Moving forward results in singing. Verses 17 and 18, once again. Then Israel sang this song, "Spring up, O well, all of you sing to it. The well the leaders sank, dug by the nation's nobles, by the lawgiver with their staves." You know, this is the first time we read of Israel singing since Exodus chapter 15, after they crossed the Red Sea. In other words, as far as the record goes, the children of Israel did not sing during their 40 years of wilderness wanderings. You realize that? But Israel is no longer wandering in this chapter. The wanderings are over. They are moving forward. The Lord provides water and the children of Israel sing. Do you see the lesson? Moving forward results in singing. When we're wandering in the wilderness of Christian experience, we can't sing unto the Lord from the heart. Only when we're moving forward in the Christian life can we sing. Now, the water here is certainly typical of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. Remember what the Lord said in John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39? "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive." John 7, 38 and 39. When we're walking in the Spirit and not after the flesh, we are moving forward and will naturally want to sing unto the Lord. In fact, Colossians 3:16 indicates that singing will characterize the godly believer. You know, I think we can see an extended type or spiritual picture here as well. The water springing up from the well, which typifies the work of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life, can only come after the work of Christ on the cross, which we've seen earlier in this chapter, in the bronze serpent being lifted up in the wilderness. Only after the cross can there be singing. Now, let me ask you a question this morning. First, are you a Christian? Now, are you a singing Christian? Moving forward results in singing. Doctrinal point number two, moving forward results in victory. Moving forward results in victory. Suppose I were to ask you the following Bible question. In Israel's conquest of Canaan, was Jericho the first fortified city to be conquered? The answer is clearly no, according to the biblical record that we have here in Numbers chapter 21. Listen to what we read about the defeat of Og, king of the Amorites, in the parallel account in Deuteronomy chapter 3. This is after Sihon, king of the Amorites, had already been conquered and his fortified cities taken. I'm reading Deuteronomy chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. "So the Lord our God also delivered into our hands Og, king of Bashan, with all his people, and we attacked him until he had no survivors remaining. And we took all his cities at that time. There was not a city which we did not take from them. 60 cities, all the regions of Argob, the kingdom of Og and Bashan, All these cities were fortified with high walls, gates, and bars, besides a great many rural towns. Wow! 60 cities with high walls. This is all before they crossed the Jordan and conquered Jericho and the walls falling down there. Now notice what we read in verse 25 of Numbers 21. Verse 25. So Israel took all these cities, and Israel dwelt in all the cities of the Amorites, in Heshbon and in all its villages. When Israel conquered all of these cities of the Amorites, they did not destroy them. They lived in them. And you know, the same is true when they crossed the Jordan and conquered the whole land of Canaan. We only read of three cities being destroyed in the conquest: Jericho, Ai, and Hetzor. All the rest of the cities, the children of Israel took over and lived in them. God gave them the cities with their vineyards and orchards, as he had promised, and Israel lived in them. Now, in reference to all of these victories of Israel, we read about the book of the wars of the Lord here in verse 14 of Numbers 21. Well, this is not a lost, inspired book of the Bible. No. It was a book containing war stories and songs that Israel kept, but it's no longer available. And in verses 27 through 30, we have a poem or ballad or taunt song that was used by the Amorites when they conquered Moab, but now Israel uses it to show how they are mightier than the Amorites. Now, do you see the spiritual lesson for us in all of these victories of Israel? Why is Israel victorious? Because they are moving forward. They are no longer wandering in the wilderness. And we too will be victorious in Christian living if we move forward in our walk with the Lord. There will be battles, no doubt about it. There will be battles, but no defeat if we're walking with the Lord. Moving forward results in victory. Now, what about practical application? Just dig a little deeper. Just dig a little deeper. We see from verse 18 that the well water that God gave Israel was very easy to obtain. Look at it, verse 18. The well the leaders sank, dug by the nation's nobles, by the lawgiver, with their staves. They were able to dig with their staves or staffs and get water. Now, that wasn't too difficult, was it? We've seen that the water here pictures the Holy Spirit at work in the believer's life. Question: what means does the Holy Spirit use to accomplish his purposes in the believer's life? Primarily the Word of God, also represented by the water. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God in operation together in the believer's life. That's what we have here. But maybe you're here this morning and you're saying to yourself, well, the Lord doesn't seem to be at work in my life. He seems so far away. Listen, dig a little deeper. Dig a little deeper. The refreshing water is not that far away. As it was readily available for Israel, so it is readily available for us. It is readily available for the believer today. Just dig a little deeper.